Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
There are two types of people in this world. There are people who love to plan, and there are people who hate people who love to plan, right? Some of us like to have everything scheduled out. Others of us are maybe a little more spontaneous. If you're a planner, or even if you're not, have you ever had your plans totally messed up? Like you woke up in the morning, you had this perfect to-do list, appointments, and then something happened. The phone rang, knock on the door, car wouldn't start, and all of your plans got messed up. Or maybe it was bigger than that. Maybe you had this plan for your life, and then you got laid off of your job. Or then your husband told you he wanted a divorce, and your plans messed up. What do you do when your plans get messed up? Today we're starting a brand new teaching series called Saved by God's But. You were probably taught as a kid by your English teacher or your mother not to start a sentence with the word but. But there's a problem with that. It is not grammatically incorrect to start a sentence with the word but. Just, it isn't. And there are a bunch of Bible verses that begin with the word but. A lot of them begin with but God. But God. You know, you start a sentence with the word but because it signifies a forceful change of direction, right? Because of the but, we know that there was something that preceded the but and there's something that comes after it. But because of the presence of that but, we know that what comes after is not what we would have expected based on what came before. And that's why God loves to start sentences with the word but, because when God comes into our situation, what comes after is not what we would have expected based on what came before. And when God puts his butt into our lives, man, things are about to change. What we're going to do in this series is we're going to see how often when bad things happen, God can come in and make them good. Next week, we're going to talk about when we've been hurt and we're hurting by some other people. But God can come and he can get us past that hurt and he can even make good out of something bad that happened. We're going to see in a couple weeks how sometimes temptation can feel overwhelming, but God can give us a way out. Sometimes we are overwhelmed with guilt or shame, but God can set us free. Today, though, it's that sometimes what God does, what he changes, is your plans. In fact, sometimes God just completely messes up your plans. I want to show you an example, and it's an example that you typically only look at Christmas time. Mary and Joseph. You know, they were a young couple. They were engaged. They were faithful to God. They were saving themselves sexually for marriage. And so their plan is to get married, to buy a nice little house in the suburbs, someday have a kid, maybe a few, raise them, Gymboree, Little League, family pictures where everyone's standing in blue shirts in a field. Why are they always in a field? I don't know. And you know, they were going to have a nice little life. And then this happened. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen for you to read today. And if you don't own a Bible at home, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. You notice how it said, but before the marriage took place. And here's how that same thing is described, but with more detail in Luke chapter 1. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. You know, Mary said, but how can this happen? They were expecting to get married and then have a baby, you know, down at Bethlehem General Hospital, right? But God shows up and messes up their plans. It's like, one, you're going to get pregnant before your wedding day. Two, it's not going to be Joseph who's the father. It's going to be a virgin birth. And three, the baby is going to be the Son of God. God totally messes up their plans. And sometimes God will mess up your plans. Now, before we continue, I just want to be really clear about one thing. I am not saying today that everything that happens is according to God's plan, because it's not, okay? Everything that happens is not because God makes it happen. God is not the author of evil. If someone gets abused or gets cancer, that is not, the Bible says, that is not part of God's plan. The Bible tells us to pray that God's will be done, because God's will is not always done. Sometimes our plans get messed up just because we live in a messed up world. Sometimes our plans get messed up because I mess them up. I can be an idiot. I'm guessing you too, probably. And then sometimes other people mess up our plans. Okay? But it is important for us to realize that sometimes our plans get messed up because, but God. And it's important when that happens to have the right attitude about it. I mean, we could get frustrated with God. We could get angry. We could respond incorrectly. So let's talk about why would God mess up our plans and how should we respond, okay? So first, when God messes up your plans, it may be because he's trying to get your attention. In Mary and Joseph's case, what God was going to do and what he was asking them to do was so unbelievable, so fantastic, that God had to use an angel to convince them that it was really going to happen. So God sent an angel to Joseph and Mary, but we don't need an angel to hear from God. The truth is that God speaks to us all the time, not audibly out loud, but quietly inside, through impressions he gives us, through little nudges he gives us. He speaks to us all the time. The problem is that most of us have a hard time listening most of the time. We kind of have spiritual ADD when it comes to listening to God. We have attention deficit. You know, we're so busy listening to the TV, to music, to other people talking, to ourselves, that we don't take time to listen to God. So sometimes God may mess up our plans a little to get our attention so that we'll listen to him. God says in the Bible, he says, I wish my people would listen to me. And one of the reasons God wants you to listen to him is because he loves you, and he knows that if you listen to him, it will spare you so much pain in life. We get ourselves in trouble when we don't listen to God and follow what he wants us to do. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. You know, so often, so many things look good to us. They look right to us. But if we follow that path, when we get to the end of the road, we realize it is a dead end. Or maybe even it is a disaster. And that's why God says, I want you to listen to me. Because God can see around the corner. He knows what's coming. And if we just listen to him, then we would avoid a lot of pain. And so God says to us, I want you to give me your attention. If necessary, I will come into your life and mess up your plans to get your attention. But because there's a way that seems right and seems good to you, but it is a dead end. And I can make your life better. If you just listen to me, I can help you. So, sometimes when God messes up our plans, it's to get our attention. But it's more than that, because when God messes up our plans, he's also saying to us, I've got a better plan. I've got a better plan. The Bible is very clear that God has a purpose for your life. You were made for a purpose. God designed you uniquely and has a specific reason that you are alive here on earth. And you need to understand and live out your unique purpose. In fact, tonight we have this thing that we're starting called Next Step. I think it's the best thing that we have for people who come to Verve and who are wanting to grow in a relationship with God, who are wanting to get connected here at Verve, and who are wanting to live high-impact lives. In Next Step, one of the things we do is help you discover your purpose. There's teaching around that, and we give you tools that allow you to examine your life and understand what are my gifts, what are my strengths, what are my passions, what experiences have I had, and how does that all come together to show me the unique purpose that God has for my life. Next Step is from 6:30 to 7:30 tonight. It's 4 weeks long, but if you're like, I just want to come tonight, cool, just come tonight. If you want to come for 2 out of 4, that's better than 0 of the 4. We would love to have you. If you have not signed up for that, you can find out more, and you can sign up at the Velcro Bar after the service. I'd love to have you hang out with me at Next Step tonight. God has a purpose for your life. Check out what God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So God says, my plans for your life are good. They're good. You know, at Verve, we always have people here who do not yet believe, and they're here investigating faith. Man, I'm so glad that you are here. We started our church for you. But most of us believe. Most of us at some point have put our faith in Jesus. And so here's the real issue for us. Are we going to submit our lives to him? But like, are you going to bow down to his authority in every area of your life? Are you willing to give up your plans so that you can allow him to lead you into his plan for your life? The reality is that there are a lot of people who do believe, and I think are Christians, and never do that. Like, they believe in Jesus, but they never let God lead them, and so they completely miss out on God's will for their life, completely miss out on his plan for their lives. And today, God is saying to us, I have a better plan for you, and we would be crazy to miss out on what God has for us. Wonder why? Well, first, because God's plan for you is always bigger than your plan for you. It's bigger. Like Mary and Joseph, I mean, they just wanted to get married and settle down and be a happy family. And God said, that's nice, but I have a bigger plan. I want to bless the whole world through you. And God made you for a purpose, and you have no idea how much God could do, how much God could work through you, how he could use you in this world if you just committed yourself to his plan for your life instead of your plan for your life. If you were to say, okay, God, I'm here. I am totally available to you. Do with my life whatever you want to do. And you couldn't believe what God could accomplish with your life because his plans for you are always bigger. Not only are they bigger, they're also harder. God's plan for your life is bigger than your plan, and it's harder than your plan. This is why so many people cut out on God, why so many people are like, okay, I want to do life with God, and then go, maybe not, because it's human nature to take the path of least resistance, to just try to slide through life. And God's like, listen, I'm not saying that my plan for your life is going to be easier. It's actually going to be harder, but it will be better. Why is God's plan harder? Because God is more concerned with your character than with your comfort. God wants to grow you. He wants you to mature. He wants you to be a person of integrity who takes responsibility. And so he's not going to take all the problems out of your life. But because we experience problems, it grows our character. And God's way is harder, but it's also better. I mean, Mary and Joseph, when they said, okay, God, we're in. We're going to cooperate with your plan. Use us. And do you think that was easy for them? No. What was it easy for Mary to say, okay, I'll be an unwed mother. Can you imagine how bad the gossip was and the ridicule in a highly religious, conservative little town back then? And who is going to believe her story when she says, hey, everybody, I'm still a virgin. God made me pregnant. You going to believe that? No, me neither, right? And then at the end of Mary's pregnancy, 2 or 3 days before she's to deliver, when most moms are just wanting to take it easy, she has to get on a donkey and ride for several days from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the whole time about to pop. Then when she gets there, she has to deliver her first child without her parents there, without the comforts of home, without a doctor, in a stable. Man, when I think about it, and I'm sure Mary didn't complain because she knew it was God's plan and she was committed to God's plan. But I like to imagine how she would have told the story years later if she was more like us, if she was a little more whiny like us. Maybe she would have said something like, girl, did I ever tell you what happened when I got pregnant? I got so big, I got so fat, I got so many stretch marks, and then I had to ride side saddle on a broke down old donkey all the way to Bethlehem. I started to have contractions 3 miles from town. Finally, we get to the hotel. Do you think Joseph made reservations? Oh, no, he didn't. He never plans ahead. I said, I'm going to have this baby right here in the street with everyone gawking at me? I don't think so. And the next thing I know, Joseph brings me out to a stable. You talk about stinking, and big old cow eyes looking at me, flies all flying around everywhere, no epidural, no midwife. All I got with me is a clueless husband who can't remember the Lamaze breathing techniques. Breathe, breathe. It's not that hard. Then finally the baby comes, and we have to wrap him in some old ratchet rags and throw him into a feeding trough. Oh, I'm not done yet, girlfriend. Listen to this. Finally, I get the baby to sleep, and some old dirty shepherds come up, knocking on the door, waking up my baby, wanting to hold my baby. Oh, and then Joseph has this dream that King Herod wants to kill my baby, and so we had to move to Egypt. And girl, you know how I hate sand. Maybe. Listen, God's plan is harder, but it's better. It's better. When God messes up our plans, his plan is bigger, it's harder, and it's more rewarding. It's more rewarding. I mean, you think about Mary and Joseph. If they had stuck with their plan, they would have eventually had kids and probably had a fine life. But because God showed up, because he messed up their plans, because they chose to follow his plan, man, their lives were so much more rewarding. They raised the Son of God. They were a part of the impact that Jesus had on the world. Think about this. How many first century young Jewish couples from Nazareth can you name? One, right? Just Mary and Joseph. Why? Because they helped turn the world upside down. And that is the same choice that you and I have to make today. Are we going to follow God's big plan for our lives, or will we continue with our little plan? Will we probably have good lives, fine lives, or do we want to live truly rewarding lives? Will we be forgotten or remembered? Will we just do our thing, or will we help be a part of Jesus' impact on the world? When God messes up our plans, he's probably trying to get our attention. He always, always has a better plan for us. And one more thing. Also, he's saying to us, I want you to learn to trust me. God's saying, I want you to learn to trust me. Because generally, it takes a lot of trust to follow God's plan. Can you imagine the faith it took for Joseph to do what he had to do? If your fiance came to you and said, honey, I'm pregnant, but listen, I didn't do anything, it's God's fault. You gonna believe that? No. And the Bible tells us Joseph didn't believe Mary, and he made the decision to quietly end the engagement. He didn't want to embarrass her, but he also didn't want to marry her. He was going to call off the engagement until God sends an angel who says, psst, she's telling the truth. The faith it took. And can you imagine the faith Mary had to have when she realized that of all the women in the entire world, God was choosing her to be the instrument through which he would come to earth. And God's plan was so different from their plan, so outlandish, I think all they could do was trust. And that was a good thing, because the Bible says, I don't know if you know this, the Bible says that there's only one way to please God. If you want to live a life that pleases God, it's just one way. It's not by religion. It's not by rituals. It's not by following rules or regulations. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that the only way to please God is by faith. By faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants you to learn to trust him. And every time that God messes up our plans, it's a test. Like you're under a test. It's like, am I going to trust God? Or am I just going to trust me? Do I think that I know better? Or do I think that God knows better? Do I believe that I know what's best for my life? Or do I really believe that God knows what's best for my life? Here's what I wonder. I wonder in what way God is trying to teach you to trust him right now. That's God's goal for your life. It's growing faith. And God wants to get your attention and show you his bigger plan for your life. And you will have to trust him if you're going to sign up and follow his plan and live out his great adventure for you. But will you trust him? Will you trust him? Honestly, I think every single day, what God is doing in my life is trying to pry my fingers from my personal agenda from the steering wheel of my life, so that I can live out his adventure for me instead of my agenda for me. And often, I think just daily, it's just small things, the way I do life, the way I interact with people. God's like, stop. There's a way I want you to do life. But sometimes it's bigger stuff. It's like the big decisions we face. I think about back when I lived in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We had started a church there, and we loved our church there. It's great. We had our kids there, and we loved our lives there, and we planned on staying there forever. We're going to retire there, die there. But God totally messed up our plans. It became very obvious and clear to us that God had this idea that we were supposed to move to Las Vegas and start a church in Las Vegas. That was not our plan for our lives, and we did not like that plan for our lives. We were not interested. But we are committed to obeying God and to trusting God and to living out his plan for our lives as best as we are able to understand it. And so we picked up all our stuff, rented a truck, and moved to Las Vegas. And we've been here now for 9 years. And now, looking back, it's like, oh, okay, now we get it. Now we can see God had a plan. God had a reason for us to be here. God needed us here. God's plan was bigger and better for our lives than our plan was. And we are so glad now that we believe that whatever God has for us must be what's best for us. But back then, that was hard. It took faith. And it was really hard for me because I am a planner. I make plans, and I like to keep the plans I make. I bet a lot of us, we like to keep plans, and we like to make plans. Here's the truth, though, and you know this. Man, so much in life is uncertain. Maybe you don't know if you're still going to have a job or not. You don't know if this relationship is going to last. You don't know where you're going to live. You don't know if your marriage is going to make it. You don't know if your kid's going to be okay. You have concerns. You don't know, and you're worried. I mean, there are so many things we just can't know in life. But some good news, there are some things we can know. Okay? You can know that God still has a plan for your life. Like, maybe you have ignored it, maybe you have missed it for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. God still has a plan for your life. He's not given up on you. He's not given up on his plan. And his plan is better than your plan. And it is not too late for you to start living your life in a close relationship with God, where you are surrendering and submitting your life to him and allowing him to guide your life into his plan. It's not too late. You can also know that God is never going to leave you. Never. If you choose to walk with him and go into his plan, it's scary maybe, but you're not going to be alone because he will be with you every step of the way. Now, knowing that and actually letting it play out in our lives, very, very different things. And we need to choose to actually live it. And that requires trust, right? That requires faith. And if God has to, he will mess up your plans, so you have no other option, really, than to just trust him. And if you're not at a place today where you do completely trust him, I want to give you an encouragement. My encouragement would be, seek him. Seek him. We looked earlier at a verse, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where God says, I have a plan for your life. Check out two verses later, Jeremiah 29, 13. God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek me with all your heart. God wants you to be a seeker. And this is not just speaking to people who don't believe yet. This was written to believers. Listen, for those of us who do believe, but maybe don't trust him completely. For those of us who do know, but maybe we haven't always lived out everything we know, we need to seek him. We need to seek his presence. We need to seek his heart. We need to seek his guidance so that we can know him better and trust him more. What would that look like for you? It may mean carving out some time to spend some like real time in prayer, like a with all your heart kind of prayer where you get really honest with God. God loves honest prayers. And you say, God, I don't really trust you. I don't. Like, I know you're real and I believe in you, but I think if I'm being honest, I don't completely trust you. And you tell him why. Maybe for you, you're afraid of living out God's plan for your life because you're afraid it will be boring. Or maybe you've read the Bible too much and you're afraid it's too risky to follow God's plan. You know. You're like, it won't be boring, but I'm scared of what God might have me do. Tell him. Tell him. Whatever it is, confess it to him and seek him with all your heart. Just pray, God, I really want to know you more, and I want to feel you in my life. Like, I would love to get to a place where I trust you, and God, I want to experience everything you have for me. Help me to get there. Man, I think God would honor a prayer like that, right? For others of you, maybe you need to seek, but in a different way, but because you're not sure if you believe yet. And what I would say to you, if you're like, man, I'm here today, but I don't know if I believe in this whole God and Jesus thing, I would say that you are not here today by accident. Like, literally from all eternity back, God knew that you would be sitting in this seat, in this room today, and he wants you here today so he can get your attention and speak to you. And he wants to say to you, I made you for a purpose, and I love you. And I know that you've been doing your plan, but I love you, and I would love to get you on my plan. Listen, I have seen every single moment of your life, the good and the bad and the ugly, and I still love you. And I am inviting you to come to me just as you are and come into relationship with me because I want you to know me and I want to do life with you every moment. And if you get on my plan for your life, you will discover that it is bigger and it is better. God has you here today so you could hear that. And maybe it's time for you to really hear that. Maybe it's time for you to say yes to God's plan. How do you do that? Well, it begins by saying yes to Jesus, by putting your faith in Jesus as the one who can forgive your sins and lead you through life. Putting your faith in Jesus who came for you and who died for you. Right? That baby who was born to that very confused couple, he grew up and he became a man and he told people of God's love and he healed and he did miracles and he wants to come into relationship with you to share God's love with you and bring some healing to your life and maybe even do some miracles for you. And if you just say yes to his offer, listen, he can make you right with God and bring you into relationship with him right now and for all eternity. How do you say yes? Well, you put your faith in Jesus. In Jesus who was born and then who died. And what we need to do is we need to die and then be born. Sounds backwards, but the Bible says that's what happens in baptism. The Bible says that when we say yes and we put our faith in Jesus, the next thing we do is we get baptized. In baptism, you're lowered into water and then you're raised out of water. And the symbolism is dying to your old life. It's like being buried and then being born, raised up into a new life that you are going to live in God's love, that you're going to live in relationship with God, and that you're going to live out God's plan. And don't you want that? I want that. So we are doing baptisms here in 3 weeks, April 28th and 29th, Sunday morning and Monday evening. And maybe that's your day. Maybe it's your chance. It's your time to say yes to God and his offer to you. If you're interested in learning more about that or signing up for that, you can do that at the Velcro Bar today. For right now, we're going to give you a chance to connect with God, a chance to get quiet and to listen to him, to seek him, and to try to understand what it is that he's saying to you. And so the band's going to play. We've got a few minutes and it's for you to connect with God. During this time, we also offer communion. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. And it's a way that we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made in love for us. And we thank him for that. And we recommit ourselves to living out God's plan for our life with his help. Communion is available on the candlelit tables around the room. And so when you're ready, there's no rush. You can go and you can get the bread and juice. You can bring it back to your seat and you can take it thanking Jesus for what he did for you on the cross. So I'm gonna pray for you and then we'll give you a few minutes on your own, okay? Let's pray. God, I am totally convinced that it is no mistake that we are here today, each one of us, that you have us here because you want us to hear what you're trying to say to us. And far too often, I know for me at least, I am way too busy and my life is way too loud to listen. But God, we want to give you some time to listen. And God, I'm convinced that if we do, what we'll hear you saying is that you love us no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. You love us with an unconditional, perfect love, and you are saying to us, come as you are. Come into relationship with me, and let me guide you into my plan for your life. It's bigger, and it's better. It is harder, but it's more rewarding. God, we don't want to miss out on that. And so would you help us in these next few moments and in the days to come to really seek you with all our hearts. God, we thank you for communion that helps us to remember that it's only because Jesus died that this relationship with you is possible. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.